Welcome to another episode of Coffee and Jesus. I'm your host, Jael Penn, coming to you from the great state of Texas. Hello, everybody. I want to share a story with you today about mental illness. This seems to be a taboo topic, especially in the body of Christ, but it shouldn't be. And I bet you know someone who is technically mentally ill and has a diagnosis of a mental disorder. There was a lot of stigma with that a long time ago, but I think we're evolving and understanding more and more that these people need our help and not our judgment. First, let me put a disclaimer on this podcast. I'm not a licensed medical professional. I'm a teacher, researcher, writer, chaplain, minister, and mom. As an adult and as a minister and teacher, I'm interested in learning how to better connect with other people, because I had such a disconnect as a child. As my mama used to say, you should always try to find a link with someone or you will sink. Yet this is not how I felt when I was a young girl. I was deathly afraid of other people, especially crowds or enclosed spaces. I never wanted to be in a position where I was vulnerable and not in control of my environment. And being a perfectionist, in quotes, didn't really help matters. And for those of you who don't know, perfection is an illusion. My story begins with fear. I grew up in the turbulent 60s and 70s. The media made me afraid because of my skin color. The church made me afraid of God. And the voices inside my head made me afraid of pretty much everything, especially of failing. The first time I knew something was different or wrong was when other people's faces and reactions to whatever I said made me feel like I was weird or crazy. I was even called that many, many times. Apparently my reactions were off and abnormal. I had a lot of anxiety as a child, teen, and young adult. At that time, I was having anxiety and panic attacks, although I didn't know that's what it was. I had a lot of trouble breathing. I would break out in a sweat. I would start crying and shaking uncontrollably. My thoughts would race 100 miles per hour. About the worst case scenario, my life was just a complete mess. Yet I hid it pretty well for most people except for my mother. She took me to, I believe, a psychiatrist. It was really a long time ago. I was very, very young. And I really didn't want to talk to that person, so they didn't make a lot of headway with me. Now, I come from a family that's very social. Pretty much everybody is a minister. They're a prophet or an evangelist or a worshiper. So everybody talked a lot. This also means that we traveled a lot, which was wonderful to get to know different cultures and all these wonderful places around the world and around the country. However, it's not good for somebody like me. It meant large crowds of people. So traveling was actually the worst. Road trips were horrible because I'm claustrophobic. Air travel was even worse because the airport was very noisy and very crowded. I was way overstimulated. As an adult, I was diagnosed as OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and also with a major depressive disorder. And I'm not sure if these things were triggered because of my environment. And I don't want to say too much because I don't want people's feelings to get hurt or to be messy, or because of some life events. I was raped at age 9. There was some sexual molestation throughout the teen years. And so all of that didn't help. And yet I made it through the most crucial years of development, crippled, so to speak, with no real support system. And that's on me because I didn't really let anybody know all those things were happening. The rest of this podcast I'm going to devote to explaining what it's like to have a mental disorder. So OCD, according to the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, defines it as having recurrent and persistent thoughts that are intrusive and unwanted. I most definitely had those. Some of them were just really vile, and I'm not even going to share with you what they were. The individual also tries to ignore or suppress those thoughts, urges, and images by performing a compulsion. And there are usually repetitive behaviors. Now, for me, a change in routine was a death sentence. You might as well have shot me. Seriously, it was really that bad because I had my rituals, I had my routines. And if you've ever known anybody with OCD or even watched a movie where somebody had OCD, then you understand what I'm saying. I was obsessive about time. And so to this day, I will not wear a watch because of that obsession and compulsion to look at it every 5 seconds. As you can imagine, I had a super fun childhood. I'm being sarcastic right now. I thank God that my mother treated me like a normal kid, even though she knew that I wasn't. And praise God for the Holy Spirit guiding and protecting me all of that time, because many times I tried to hurt myself. So this brings me to my diagnosis of major depressive disorder. You see, I couldn't function within the dynamics of a legalistic church, within a family that seemed to be where everybody seemed perfect except me, and in a very prestigious private school where you were expected to excel. I felt sad a lot of the times. I cried a lot. I was irritable. I was moody. And then other times I felt nothing at all, like I wasn't even in my body. I would gain or lose weight really fast, depending on my current mental state. At one point, I know I had an eating disorder where I would make myself throw up, or I would take laxatives to get rid of the food that I ate. And thank God he healed me of that, because I probably would have died. I was an insomniac. Sleeping, what is that? I don't even know. I felt completely worthless and suicidal. I was constantly questioning myself and my experiences. And now as an adult, I wonder, did any of these diagnoses have a spiritual component to them? Was this a spirit that I was dealing with? Or was it something chemical? Or was it post-traumatic stress disorder that manifested itself into these other things because of the rape? I know the enemy would have loved for me to die. I tried to kill myself 3 times. The last time, I believe an angel knocked the pills out of my hands, and I've never tried it since, praise God. I struggled to live every day, to breathe every day, to connect with people every day, and mostly to control my racing thoughts. That's the main reason why I couldn't sleep, is because I couldn't shut my mind down. There were times when I had to remind myself, I'm God's child, and it's okay for me to be imperfect. Only God is perfect. I would mentally prepare myself when I went to the airport or the mall. I still don't do crowds. And I'm so much happier now, y'all. There's so much peace and joy when you accept the Lord and fully surrender to Him. I can relate to other people as a chaplain, a minister, and a teacher. I sleep so well now that I snore. And when the intrusive thoughts come, I can dismiss them. I can replace them with praise music or verses or just pictures of beautiful scenery or things that I love or people that I love. I no longer want to hurt myself. And all I want is to live for Jesus and to honor Him with my life and the gifts that He's given me. He truly is the source of all joy. Am I still mentally ill? I don't believe so. The only label identity I own and accept is that of daughter of the King. My daddy loves me just as I am. He didn't make a mistake when he made me, and I love him. You need to cling to what God says about you in his word, no matter what a doctor says, or what your verbally abusive boyfriend or spouse says, or what the mean girls at school say. Remember what your daddy says about you. You have no reason to fear because he has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a sound mind. I want to recommend a couple of books to you about battling your thoughts and mental illness. And one is Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. Oh my gosh, such an excellent, excellent, excellent book. And then In the Middle of the Mess by Sheila Walsh. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And if you did, please consider subscribing and writing a nice review on iTunes. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Be blessed.